That sucks.
Hi, and welcome everyone to Knowledge on the Rift. And as you can see on the screen, we got a special buff edition of the episode today. My name is Adam, the AMO. I'm the host here of Knowledge on the Rift. And today I have with me Robert. You may have seen him around as Eggnoggers up in... You're Diamond, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, up in the Diamond Division. So...
unfortunately.
You're jungle main, correct?
I am. Jungle and top.
There we are. So, we're just going to sort of get right into just kind of how we go here is we just try and learn everything we can. So, you've already said that you're a diamond maid hangout. Or a diamond player, jungle main, also plays in top lane now with the dynamic key. You can focus just on the two roles. So, how long have you been playing League, though?
Tail end of Season 3, starting of Season 4, probably.
Very nice. So, do you have a favorite moment from either playing the game or watching?
Honestly, probably my favorite moment was when I got out of Silver the first season, and I hit Gold 5. I kind of kept going, but I remember there was this one game. We just had, like, a really bad experience with the top laner. He kept split-pushing for the most part, and even though he was split-pushing, like, we were still able to win, and that was my gold promo.
Sweetie, it's always fun to win games when you play together as a team instead of, you know, doing the solo thing. So, do you follow the pro scene at all?
I try to. It's hard to watch both Korean games and NA games, and for the most part, I don't really watch the NA games because they're a little lacking.
No, yeah, I definitely can see how the Korean scene is much more strategically advanced than the NA scene. Do you got a favorite team or player over there, or you just like watching?
I like most of the Koreans just because of the attitude that they kind of give off, where everything's serious, like. Not to jump on the SKT train, but Faker in one of the articles, I can't remember how long ago, but he said, like, I wouldn't get a girlfriend because I need to focus on practicing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's an idea of their commitment. And, I mean, for everything that they're getting to just play the game, you know, you can't blame them.
No, that's, yeah. It's just it's a different attitude, a different culture over there that definitely allows for superiority, at least for the moment anyway, so... Hopefully the Western scene can catch up and at least be pretty competitive. CLG did pretty good at that MSI, so. Well, they did good until they went up against.
Yeah, right. Okay. No, I mean, they, in comparison to NA, where they never like really go the distance. Yeah, they definitely did. There was like a not cornerstone, I guess milestone, but you know, fell off unfortunately.
So. Do you have a favorite champion or a favorite? How about a favorite skin on a champion?
Rek'Sai was probably like my baby until they nerfed the hell out of her.
Yeah,
she's still probably my favorite champion, but I don't really play her too much, mostly because I can't afford all the good champions on the new account. But
she's still
by far one of my favorite champions. Like when she came out, I was so hyped. Same thing with Kindred because they kind of have like a similar role where they can actually gank from like these unique paths that nobody ever thinks of, but. They're also really strong.
Yeah, the really low cooldown on getting over terrain is something that those two champions have in common. My favorite jungler to play is Zac, and his you know wall jump is like 15 seconds. So it takes a while to move around. Do you have a favorite skin, though? Or
favorite skin? Not so much. I don't really have skins. Like, I definitely wouldn't be opposed to having them, but.
No, yeah, so you're just like Faker, the original skins. You don't even play as yourself.
Yeah, I mean, well, easy there. But, maybe one day. Yeah, I mean, most of the artwork in the original skins are pretty awesome.
Oh, that's great. So, let's kind of get down into this. So, in the series, we've touched on, you know, things leading up to it. And so far, we've focused basically on things that you can control, and they're very beginning of the game type of thing. So, like, trinkets and warding and some communication, that type of things. But today we're going to focus on, while the laners have their objectives are CS and towers, the jungler's role has different objectives, and their objectives are the buffs, the neutral creatures out there. So, real quick, everyone kind of hopefully knows what we're talking about, but if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, Riftkit, map.riftkit.net is something you can pull up, and it will have all the buff timers on there, except for Rift Herald isn't on there because it's from like season 2, but yeah, you can add your own. Well, Rift Herald's new, so but it's something.
No, I meant Riftkit.
No, Riftkit, yeah. It's just it's an easy tool to use, and it's even though it's not the most up to date tool, you can configure the timers yourself. So speaking of the timers, how do you feel about the visual indications now of the buff timers?
I think it's really stupid that they put those out. Like when season 6 started, they kind of started going downhill in terms of the, I guess to me, the tacticality of it, because one of the things that bothered me the most about season 6 or the progression in it was, or it was like the end of season 5, I can't remember, was when they gave away the free trinkets. And the reason that bothered the hell out of me is because, like, you can tell really good players, really proactive players, by how quickly they upgrade their trinket when they hit level 9, because they're all thinking ahead. So, like, the minute you hit level 9, you're going to upgrade your trinket, it's only going to cost you 250. Something as small as that kind of shows how much you're paying attention in the game. And I mean, it is a very minimal thing, but it kind of, you know, it kind of has like a, what's the word? That's some kind of effect. Yeah, I mean, like, you can tell it, because if they do that, then they do something else. They're warding constantly, they're clearing constantly, they're doing something, basically.
They're optimizing their builds, their paths, their abilities.
Just playing proactively, yeah. And then with a couple other things, like, I had mentioned a while ago, I was like, well, if they're just going to time everything, right? If they're just going to time, you know, Dragon and Baron and have it be global, like, why not just show the enemy's flash?
Yeah.
People didn't really take too kindly to that comment, but it's kind of true. It's like, why not? Because realistically, like, you already kind of know it. The only difference is you don't have the exact second, if you're thinking about that.
Yeah, well, you can. If you hold tab, you can look at your teammates.
No, teammates, yeah, but I'm talking about enemies.
Oh, that's true, yeah. The enemies, it's almost gotten to that point with the timing. I thought that when they put the timers, when you had the hold tab, and if you had vision of it going down, it would give you the timer. And I thought that was going to... at that point, I was like, okay, this is nice for entry-level people who are just started playing the game and you're getting their account to 30, and it's probably nice for like bronze and silver players who haven't quite figured out working out like how they work timers in. But I was like, oh, this is just making the entry level to, let's say, a gold jungler versus a silver jungler that much easier for the silver jungler, because it's one less thing they have to actually do or think about.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small good thing, but it's, in my opinion, a really bad thing, just because it used to be to the point where if you were a really good jungle, like, you were timing, you know, enemy jungle camps. I mean, like I said, it's a small thing. It's not something that really matters so much anymore, just because it's kind of automated in that sense. But if you could do stuff like that, like, you were really annoying to the enemy team, it was kind of like, at the end of the game, they'd talk about you, like, man, this jungler had my buffs all game, you know? Now it doesn't really matter as much, because it doesn't take as much tacticality. Like, you still have to be proactive in terms of, like, working in a gank and then also taking their buff. But, you know, before it used to be like, oh, he did all of it, and now it's just like, okay, he can do it because he has the tools kind of by default.
Oh, yeah, so let's talk about the actual tools. So the easiest buffs to start off in the game are the well, I guess technically the easiest spots to start off with are the mini camps. Pretty much any jungler can take any mini camp solo if they have to. So, real quick rundown the line of the mini camps and what buff they give your champion if you smite the large minion or the large creature.
The Krugs will give you Gift of Heavy Hands. It's either on your 5th, I think, or your 6th auto attack. You get a buff that stuns jungle monsters, so it's really good to smite for auto attack champions. Like Jax, pretty much anyone that's primarily auto-reliant and not, you know, skill-reliant, like, who's an example? Maybe Skarmr, for example. Well, I guess Skarmr. Yeah, champions like those. Raptors will give you a True Sight buff. It's kind of similar to the old Oracle Lens, where it'll give you sight of all the wards that are roughly in your area. My biggest problem with that is it doesn't necessarily tell you which direction the ward is in. The one thing that they did do to improve that a little while ago was they reduced the radius or the range for it to proc in like a ward. I mean, in like a bush or something, so you can kind of get an idea of where they are. The wolves will give you a little wolf spirit. It's primarily only really good to smite in the enemy side of the jungle, so you can get vision on that side. It'll follow the pretty much anyone around in that side of the jungle. It's actually pretty good for counter-jungling and potentially avoiding a 3v2 dive if you're going bot lane. And which one am I forgetting? And Gromps is kind of like on the low end of the buff not mattering so much. Like, very rarely will it ever really do anything for you or improve your clear because it's such a minor thing, but it'll give you like a Thornmail passive when monsters attack you in the jungle or when enemies attack you in the jungle. And it does like a small amount of damage, I think, over time. Or during attacks, I actually can't remember because it's such a minor thing.
Yeah, I think the Gromp is the buff that it gives is not particularly strong, but it's more compensated for the fact that that gives you the most experience of the mini camps.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's where its goal is to balance it out in that direction. So going up to the major buffs on in each jungle side, the red and blue. Which one do you want to start with first?
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Okay, we're going to go with blue buff first, because it's on the left-hand side of my screen here. So, the blue, or the blue sentinel, or the ancient golem, it's probably changed its name like 3 times since League started, but everyone just calls it the blue buff. What's that all about?
It's mostly used for the passive mana regen that you get back. It's really good for the mid laners. Junglers should be giving their mid laners blue buffs in general. If they're not feeding, they're doing well, and or what's the other one? If they actually need it. Like, there's a lot of Rengars, for example, will take blue buff for the cooldown reduction, but it's so much better on your mid laner because you can just kill the enemy mid laner for their blue. But that's just my opinion. And it also gives you, what is it, like, it gives you ability power scaling per level now, I think, something like that. I know they changed it a little while back ago, so it's pretty decent.
No, yeah, so they did change it on the ability power. It is now stacking.
I mean, there's a lot of little minor things. Like, I actually found out, not that I want to jump ahead, but Baron, a student actually told me, hold on, Swain Man, that the longer you stay in the Baron pit, the more damage is amplified. And I was like, what do you mean? So I looked at the wiki page, and he has like a stacking debuff of like 0.5 every time he auto-attacks somebody. I don't know, or it's an aura, I can't remember which one it is. So the longer you stay in the Baron pit, like, the longer he does more damage with his abilities or auto attacks or something like that. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Who'd have thought? Oh, Kindred Spin. Oh, the Blue Sentinels are the little ones, aren't they? Oh, no. I guess so. And Red Buff's pretty much good for anybody. Any laner that gets a red buff, like, it's really beneficial as long as you're weaving in some auto attacks. But red buff is pretty awesome for pretty much any champion. It actually makes, if you see it this way, it actually makes a lot of really passive junglers like E gives you the ability to actually gank. Like, you can gank an overextended lane because of his passive, the double hit. You're proccing red buff, especially with how they updated recently. I forgot what they said. It initially gives you like a tick of damage or something like that. So it's been pretty useful on champions that don't necessarily have a lot of success. Even something like a Mumu. Like, usually people tend not to gank with a Mumu really early until they get their ultimate. But as long as you land the Q and follow up with an auto attack, like you following up with a slow that does a decent amount of damage and you get the red tick buff. And it also gives you, what was it? I think it gives you like health regen or something like that. I can't remember. You get like a flat amount of health, but there's something you get out of combat or something. I can't remember what it was. I mean, if you can steal the enemy buff at any time, for whatever reason, whether it be like cheesing a ward over the wall from mid lane to get the blue, or just, I mean, either one, really. But usually you can give your buffs away. They're not necessarily too important as long as your team's really far ahead. But if you can avoid it, like, realistically, it just comes down to ward coverage. Was that a question? Scuttle Krebs, incredibly important. Alright, so I've been saying this, I think, ever since it came out, and ever since I realized the importance of it, as well as I see so many people like not abuse it as often. Now, it's primarily important, if you ever get a Kindred, this is one of the things that's most annoying. Like, you need to take that as often as possible so it doesn't even become a mark, or wait till that mark comes up and kind of prioritize it. But the reason that I say it's so important is it allows you to do so many things. It allows you to, if you get it really early, champions that don't have the best clear but have like snowball potential, like Rengar, for example, can heal off of it almost entirely just because he'll be starting Machete. So like you can just auto-attack the hell out of it, and then you're full health. Because like almost always you'll burn at least one, maybe two health pots because people don't know how to necessarily clear efficiently or move around or just not take maximum amount of damage. Or not take a minimum amount of damage, I should say. And you can heal up off of that. And then regardless of the lane that you're going to gank, like you have this minor speed buff to get between them. So like you can go mid, burn a flash maybe, then go bottom, and then potentially even kill them. The other thing that's really important is the 50 gold. You get 50 gold off of your first clear, just having Machete. And then I think, I can't remember what it is after that. I think it might be based on the level up. I can't remember. But the main thing that people like will play or will kill it for is the vision. The speed buff is also awesome. If you can get it around the time that you're taking Dragon, it gives you this kind of like window of opportunity if anything goes bad to potentially get out. Or you can use it as an engage tool. Honestly, it's like the best, in my opinion, it's the best minor thing about League right now. And it is a pain in the ass to take on champions that don't have CC, though. I think it has like 10 armor if you CC it, and then 0 magic resist or something like that. Because it's the reason like Nidalee was so strong for a long time is because no jungle's monsters had magic resist. I think they still don't, aside from like the major ones. But that's the reason she powers through it. Plus, she can also root it. So basically, anything that debuffs the Scuttlecrab in terms of a hard CC, I believe, you gain a debuff on the Scuttlecrab to make it less tanky because it is a pain. That's why 80 carries, for example, can't even kill the level... Well, they can kill the level 2 one, but past that point, it becomes really hard for them to kill the damn thing. The exact buff, though, I mean, the exact debuff is... I think it just stays at 10 armor as opposed to whatever it is naturally. Yeah, it's kind of like the default. Yeah, and then it also gives vision of the enemy, and they're like, they're kind of deterred to gank from that point. There's a lot of little minor things you'd be surprised that League or that contributes to like how successful you are in League, and that is one of them. Just taking Scuttlecrab in general. Oh, yeah, totally. Hello? Oh, you cut out for a second. The recent Rift Herald or Rift Herald in general? You're cutting out a little bit on Skype. I don't know if it's like disconnecting or whatever. Yeah, it's just they can tell like it's going through some technical difficulties. So we're talking about the new one, right? All right. So the new one, specifically for top lane, yeah, that's kind of. I don't know what they were thinking, honestly. I mean, no, honestly, I can't have any justification for that. Like, I could understand maybe 10 minutes. But my biggest problem with top lane right now is, and I mean, this may apply to other lanes, but my biggest problem with top lane is the fact that in a heavily tank-dominated meta, you get one gank and you pretty much snowball, or you theoretically you should. And I mean, that could apply to other lanes, but in my opinion, other lanes have outplay potential, whereas tanks are very upfront and there's not really a lot of like counterplay to just getting a lead. Like something that's very small, for example, is the like my most annoying matchup is Maokai Darius, right? So Darius should be able to destroy Maokai almost throughout the entirety, but if he gets one gank, the percentage shred that he has on his W, I'm talking about Maokai, is way too much to deal with almost always, and the amount of health that he'll get early is just too hard to manage. But it's even worse when he gets the corruption buff, because if he can take advantage of that, which works really well with his passive, you pretty much can't win the lane, regardless of how well you do or regardless of how skilled, you know, quote unquote skilled you can be in top lane. Because realistically, the main thing that shows a good top laner is how active you don't get ganked, in my opinion. But you can also do pretty good trades.
No, it's something that's I've seen. I mean, just giving it to even if you are like a farmed jungler or a heavy ganking jungler, giving it to them is still impressive because they can always, you know, catch people out in the skirmishes in the mid game still and absolutely just tear them apart with that.
Yeah, I mean, aside from how heavily, not the word, how heavily decided top lane is, even if you do really badly, it almost gives you a free lane, because that on-hit damage is pretty insane, or the magic damage is pretty insane. I don't know the exact buff, but it's a little too strong. That's just what it comes down to. So it either needs to be reduced in the time or just changed ever so slightly to make it a little less dominant. And I mean, they did do a pretty good job of making Rift Herald really hard to kill. Like, I give them that credit, because at least then not everyone has it at like 3 minutes. But the fact that you can take it super early in the game, and or not even, you don't even have to take it super early again. You can take it, it's like right before 20-minute mark before it expires, and then it lasts potentially the, you know, entirety of the game, because how often do you really have hour games?
No, yeah, with the average game time that at least when Riot statistics that you can kind of look up, their average game time right now is about the 30 to 35 minute mark. So if
Yeah.
you're taking it at that 15 to 20 minute mark, it's lasting you the whole game. It's lasting you until the end of the game, which is pretty ridiculous considering on how
That's
much
pretty stupid.
impact it can truly have. On the opposite side of the map, there's been all the new dragon changes. So, real quick, what rank your dragons from least important, or not least important, least impactful to most impactful, and then what each one does.
All right, least impactful. I want to say, I mean, theoretically, least impactful is the air dragon, at least statistically, because it just doesn't do enough. It gives you that movement speed out of combat, which is kind of useful. Might also give something else very minor, but it's a very minor buff. Like, it's not something that you can take, but at the same time, it might also have the most relevance, because it gives the jungler a little less to do. And on top of it, you can use it as a bait tool, which is what I used to use the old dragon for. Pretty much any time it was bad to take fights. Hold on. Pretty much any time it was bad to take fights, like I would use it as a tool to potentially bait the enemy into, goddammit, into fighting for the dragon, and then as a result, just killing them for it. Because it's not that when they first released the new dragon in general, like it wasn't that important.
Yeah. So if Cloud is the least impactful, because it just gives you out of combat movement speed, which just helps you run, you know, to lanes faster, but not necessarily do anything once you get there. What would you say would be the next least impactful?
Least impactful. I mean, it depends on the situations of the game. Like, it depends on the momentum, I guess. Probably statistically, like, the Earth Dragon has the least impact, mostly because I don't actually see it spawn too often. I see the ocean and wind spawn like the most, and then pretty much whatever comes after that is kind of dictated by whatever the first one was. And then fire. And I don't actually see the Earth Dragon as often as I would say you should, but it probably doesn't have as much impact as people think it does. Like, it definitely has pretty decent relevance, but it's definitely not one of the better ones. And if I remember right, it gives true damage on turrets or something like that. I'm not too familiar with the lesser ones.
Yeah, it gives additional damage to turrets and to large monsters.
Yes.
So taking an Earth Dragon will help you take the Rift Herald or the Baron later in the game, and it'll help you take towers, but it's not helping you in teamfights, it's not helping you run around the map, it's only helping you take objectives.
Yeah.
So Air gets you to the objective, while Earth helps you take the objective. Whereas the next two, I think, are the ones that people can debate the most on which one is more important, fire or ocean.
I mean, I think fire will probably always reign supreme just because it gives you that percentage of damage. I remember getting two fire dragons on Darius, being behind in my lane and starting to win trades off of the fact that I had, like, what, I don't know, 20 plus, anywhere from 30 plus AD for free. And it was just a matter of, you know, the jungler securing the objectives. So it worked out pretty well for us. Probably fire is going to be the most impactful, just because in the event that it goes to late game and you get Baron or Elder Dragon, it's kind of amplified by the fact that you have all that damage to back it up as well, even though you probably already have damage regardless. And then Ocean, obviously. Ocean's pretty good. I think it was one of the better changes. I think the most recent one kind of didn't make sense. I think realistically they just had to reduce the time that it was, or increase the time rather, not reduce the time, that out of combat it would heal you. And it's pretty good. It's definitely not something that didn't need a change, because it was a little too OP early in the game. Like, you were healing too much past a certain point out of combat. That's kind of like Garen's passive when he gets Warmogs. It's just a little too insane to deal with past a certain point. So, I mean, I would definitely rank fire more important than ocean. But at the same time, if you have a heavily tanky team, it might change.
Nope, yep. So the specifics on the Air Dragon will give you 15, 30, and 45. And then that will increase if you get the Elder Dragon. So the key with the dragons now are to get as many as you can pre-35 minutes, so when you can get the 35-minute dragon, which is the Elder Dragon, your stats of the previous dragons then get increased.
Yeah, and it's pretty huge.
Yeah, the Fire Dragon, which we talked about, it gives you that extra increased damage, is 8, 16, and then 24% of increased ability power and attack damage, which is completely ridiculous, because just giving, like, a mid laner who already has, like, death cap and, you know, let's say two Rod of Ages items and, you know, Void Staff, and now you're giving them additional, like, 8 or 16% or, 24%. If you get the Elder Dragon with that, you're adding an additional 12%. So you're getting 36 additional percent ability power. And if you have like 700 ability power, you're getting close to 1,000. Which hits like a truck. It will run you over.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
We'll quick touch on the stats here. The mountain, or the earth one, gives you 10, 20, and 30% additional true damage to the epic monsters and the turrets. Once again, that only helps you take objectives if you're there. And the ocean dragon restores 4, 8, and 12% of missing health and missing mana every 8 seconds out of combat. So you do have to be out of combat for the 8 seconds, but it's still helpful, right? Because, if you get into a skirmish and then you separate, if you have, the ocean drake, you can, wait around for, that 10 seconds for the minion waves to come and clash together again before you get back into skirmishing. And you've got, to restore a large percentage of your missing health and mana. And I think that's huge important.
Yeah, in the event that you get like an earth dragon or something, it's even better. Because you'll be able to set up for a siege potentially that you weren't able to before because you're getting this health regen out of nowhere.
So, the Elder Drake, as we said, it gives you 50% of whatever buffs you have from any dragon that you got before it spawned. So if you get it and you have, let's say, 2 fire and a cloud, you get, increased 50% of that. This only spawns every 10 minutes instead of, like every 6. Which is fine. It's just that it's interesting that the it also gives the old what was that? 5. The fifth stack from the previous dragon round. So like before you were stacking
what
one.
What are you trying to say?
Well, back in the old days, you killed dragon, you got gold. And then they reduced it and gave you more experience. And then they changed it to where if you got 5 dragons, the 5th dragon gave you, increased buffs, movement speed, attack damage. Basically just like a mini Baron buff. But no, Baron buff gave you the additional damage.
I'm not laughing at you, I just made a really awesome play.
Aspect of the Dragon, that's what it gets you. That's what it was called. I was like, where is it? I know what it's in here somewhere. So,
Elder Dragon is OP. Let's just break it down to that. It is, though. It really is way... It's not necessarily too strong because it is very hard to take, but it is one of the most impactful things in the game in the event that it goes to that late game, which, I mean, statistically it does. But it is pretty scary when you have to deal with it. Because one of two things happens. Like, you're almost never fighting against them because it's just too much damage. A low damage team comp will, for the most part, still dominate you in the long run. But you basically just have to turtle out. And the worst part about it is if Baron is up at the same time, like, you kind of get roped into just turtling for that time that it's up.
So, speaking of the Baron... Baron Nashor. That is where everyone goes to throw games. There should just be 2 giant balls outside Baron Pit where you could play catch with people on how many throws happen at the Baron Pit. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know if you know who Scar is, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the old Dignitas mid laner.
One
of my favorite like gifts is like during the first split of LCS, someone brought like a pillow that was a Baron pillow, and there's a gif of him just standing outside of the parking lot, like holding it, and then he just throws it. And it's just Dignitas throws Baron, and follow the NA LCS, whenever Dignitas was at Baron Pit, like just. The GIFs would just explode in the Twitch chat sometimes of just like, of Scar just throwing the pillow. So, it's one of the, I just find it, really funny. And, I've won games because the other team's thrown it. I've lost games because my team's thrown it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's just, it's where everyone, it's like the ultimate noob factor, and yet everyone falls into it, even at the top level.
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest problems with it is just the fact that people don't commit to it. Like, when it's a good idea to call for Baron, a lot of the times that's the good call. The problem is people don't commit to it. They split the damage, and then they end up dying or getting everybody killed past a certain point. And it happens way too often. Like, way too often. And it's only because people don't generally have good decision making. So I mean, the biggest problem with that is just the fact that they don't either back off or just commit to it initially when they have a lot of damage to deal with it.
And that mostly goes to the, you know, the solo queue aspect, where there's not, you know, good communication on whether or not they're going to take it or peel off of it. So as a jungler, who's do you make that call? Or do you
in general, I try to, regardless of the role I'm playing, I try to make the call for objectives and or a team fight. In terms of who needs to be focused, it's actually kind of a good thing if you die as a jungler, but you do your job really early. Just because you can shot call, like let's say you engage a fight, you know, so you said you want to, you go in, you die, you blocked everybody down, you don't have to peel for anybody past a certain point. You don't really have to do much except ping the right target when they get in the middle of everything, because that's really all it comes down to. So it's actually not the worst thing. But yeah, in general, I try to shot call in solo queue, because people have no idea what they're doing.
and that's the key. I mean, we've talked about another, like I said, the other one, so the vision control. When you're going to do Baron, the best time, obviously, to do it is to kill everyone on the other enemy team.
Yeah, for sure.
Have the enemy team all show up in bot lane for some reason. Or have just, you know, get lucky and win a smite battle.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty awesome when you smite steal a Baron, but it's a very inconsistent thing to try to do.
No, yeah, so, and there's tons of clips and videos out there of how certain champions in the jungle have executes or power spike abilities that deal additional damage based upon missing health or max health, those type of things that help them secure Baron easier or any of these objectives easier from, let's say, another non champion that doesn't have those type of abilities. So you're saying, though, in the current state of the game, the Elder Dragon is stronger than the Baron.
I think it has a lot more impact most of the time, just because of how it tends to play out. Like, if you get Elder Dragon, you almost certainly always get Baron if it's still an objective.
Yep.
Or you're just hurtling out and due to the inactivity, like, you can't really do anything past a certain point. Like, you can fight them, but it's really risky unless you get a pick, and then even then they might still have enough, you know, decent damage to potentially kill your entire team.
No, yeah, so one of the things that I think, would you say that if my team gets Baron, I should do a 1-3-1 or a 4-1 depending on my team comp, whereas if my team gets Elder Dragon, I should go as 5 down a lane to take it?
I mean, I get asked questions like this all the time. Like, it's kind of like the same, what is it? Like, how do I carry in solo queue? It really comes down to, like, small things. If you have a decent team comp for grouping, in general, it's probably just better to group. Oh, Diana. If you can, I mean, in general, like if you can avoid it, oh, fuck, I messed up my... Hold on. In the middle of a team fight. Oh, God. Oh, Ash. In the event that they get, like, Elder Dragon or Baron, the best thing that you can probably do is group, just because you probably won't be able to deal with them at all, just based off how strong they are. Like, if they're able to posture around an objective that, you know, has a lot of impact in the game and get it for free, most of the time they're going to be splitting, or most of the time they're going to be grouping down mid lane. Like, this is the thing I see happen probably the most. But in the event that they split, and you can afford to split, And like I said, this is one of those situational things where it doesn't matter, or it, you know, like there's no static way of saying this, but it's situational. That's what it comes down to, I think, most of the time.
And this is where the experience of playing the game a bunch of times or watching higher levels people play the game gives you that idea of what's supposed to happen. Now you have to know your limitations of what's supposed to happen as well. We all watch professional sports. I don't try and go dunk basketball because LeBron James can. I understand I'm physically not capable of dunking a basketball. But I know how to do a layup. It's still 2 points, right? So if you see, you know, teams in LCS or Korea, you know, their LCK, you know, sneaking barons and dragons and stealing buffs, you know it's possible, but they're doing it based upon vision and knowledge of what's happening in their game. And how do they get that vision and knowledge? Their experience of playing the game, their communication with their teamworks, and their actual, you know, vision in the game. It's not just, oh, I thought I saw the jungler top lane, so I'm going to try and steal their blue buff or their red buff. It's, oh, I know the jungler was in top lane because the top laner told me. I'm going to place a ward here, X position, Y position. I'm going to steal red buff and then go take Scuttle Crab, and then go to this position. And so there's a lot more coordination to going together.
Yeah, I mean, in general, they tend to have plans. They don't just do everything for no reason.
And
sometimes they do when they can't focus on whatever, but most of the time it has a reason behind it.
And that, I think, is going to be one of our tips for today, is try to have a plan before taking one of the major buffs. You know, the blue buffs and red buffs spawn. Like they giantly give you a 1 minute heads up, this is coming. Go ahead and set up vision. Talk to your teammates. Remind them if they don't remember to look at their minimaps. If, you know, when Dragon and Baron are coming, remind them to set up vision. Set up your own vision if you're the jungler. You can carry a pink ward.
If you're anybody.
Yeah, if you're anybody.
Pink wards are not limited to supports and junglers.
Correct. They are not.
Or junglers.
So, those are a couple of things that we've kind of talked specifically about the buffs themselves and how they kind of impact the jungle. Is there anything, you talked about giving the buffs to your laners. Is there any point in the game where as the jungler, you're done taking the major, you know, the blue and reds, and you're just exclusively smiting raptors just to get the anti?
Yeah, past a certain point, like, I'll prioritize raptor buff as being the essential thing, because there's really not, like, past your first clear, you shouldn't really have to smite red almost on any champion. And then continuing through it, fuck. Sorry. I didn't mean to say that. My AD carry died.
Oh.
past a certain point, you're not really taking anything but raptor buff, just because most of the time you're not going to be able to get, you know, as much. You're not going to be able to clear as much of the enemy wards as you want, and it becomes a huge problem just because, you know, nobody else is generally helping you.
Yeah.
I think we just lost. Nobody else is generally helping you, and most of the time you're clearing on a very low attack speed champion, so you're only able to get one or two
procs.
One or two procs off of it, and you may not even be able to clear both of those wards, so it becomes kind of a problem.
That's kind of where is it. We talked about the junglers taking the upgraded red trinket. Do you find yourself taking that on all your jungles as well?
Always, almost always. Pretty much when I hit level 4 as the jungler,